Good morning, everybody.
Oh, that's quite loud, isn't it?
A very, very warm welcome to everybody this morning to PMC for our worship. To those of you who are here physically, and also, I'm never sure which camera to look into now, but those of you who are joining us online, you're very, very welcome to this time of worship as well. How are we all? Excellent. Good. Just a couple of notices type things to say, and then we'll get going. First, just a message from Keith and Jeanette to say a really massive thank you to everybody who contributed last Thursday. Do you remember we had the collection to take for warm clothes and winter clothes for the refuge in Carlisle? I think there was one van and two carloads, or maybe even three carloads. There was lots. There was lots and lots and lots of stuff and trips. Fantastic amount of clothes that you provided. And also there were, I've written this down, gifts from Kirby Stephen and Appleby T Bay Circuit and Langwath BWI. So all of that will go to, you saw in the bulletin this week that Keith or Jeanette had put a thing saying we're taking a little bit of the less out of homeless. And that's what we've done. So that was fabulous. So a massive thank you to everybody. And also, just to let you all know that you've probably seen this, we are starting our own warm space here at PMC on the 16th of November. Every Friday morning between 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, we want to provide a space. It will be in the Sandgate Room where people can come and be warm, but also find friendship, find companionship, find a place where they can have, obviously, tea and coffee, maybe play some games. But we're also going to give them the opportunity of having a hot meal that will be provided by Lunch Club as well. So we're really, really excited about that. To avoid the stigma, we're not calling it Warm Spaces, we're calling it PMC Lounge. Part of the Warm Spaces initiative. There's two things we need to really make this happen, and this would be a great way of us being church to our community. One is we need some more volunteers, some people who are willing. The more volunteers we have that can put in some hours between 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock on a Friday, then the less number of weeks each person has to do. So even if you can only do 1 week in six, that would be fabulous. Please speak to me or Sarah and let us know. And then secondly, we need some furniture. We've got two or three. We want to make it cozy and nice and welcoming. So some sort of like occasional chairs and things, nice soft chairs for people to sit on would be good. We've got some nice big settees, but they're a bit big for Lindsay to have to move in and out every Friday. So we thought some sort of like, if anybody's got any chairs and they think, do you know, we never sit on that chair. That's been in that lounge or that dining room for 20 years and we've never sat in it. I've got a great home for it. If you fancy bringing it here, then we can use it. So that would be great. We are going to consider today in our time of worship love. As you will know, if you have seen the bulletin or what I've put on Facebook, love is a verb, is what we are considering. There's a great psalm, Psalm 136. It's quite a long psalm, so we're not going to read it all, but after every line of the psalm, there's a refrain that repeats, God's love endures forever. So I'm going to start our worship together by us joining in this psalm. And all you have to do, I'm going to say a sentence, and then you all join in with God's love endures forever. Is that okay? Can we do it nice and loud and like we really believe it and we mean it? Thank God. God deserves our thanks. God's love endures forever. Let us give thanks to the God of gods. God's love endures forever. Let us give thanks to the Lord of Lords. God. You've got the idea of this now, haven't you? Let us thank the miracle working God. The God whose skill formed the cosmos. The God who laid the earth on the ocean's foundations. The God who filled the skies with light. The sun to watch over the day. Moon and stars as guardians of the night. God remembers us when we are down. God rescues us from all that oppresses us. And God wants to take care of everyone in their need. Let us thank God who does all of this. God's love endures forever. So let us indeed give thanks for God's love. The worship team will lead us in a time of worship. Do stand if you're able, or remain seated if you preferred, and we'll praise together. Thank you, Nicola.
Good morning, everybody. We have a couple of songs that focus on God's love this morning. And we are really privileged, aren't we, to come into this building and to join with one another in worship and praise. So we will start to sing, and please join in as you're feeling. Thank you.
Confident and covered by the power of your grace.
Let's pray. God, it is good to gather together as your people in this place or online so that we might worship you, so that we might meet with you, so that we might encounter you. And of all the virtues and the values and the characteristics that we might meet to praise you for, there are so many. You are a holy God, a good God, a righteous God. But we thank you, God, that you are a God of love. And as we started our time together by remembering your faithful love endures forever. Your love is not just something that was given for a time, for a people in a moment of history, but your love reaches us all. Thank you, God, that whoever we are, whatever we've done, there's nothing we can do to make you love us any more than you already do. And there's nothing that we can do that will make you love us any less than you do. And your love is constant. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me, on any of us. So we celebrate this morning your amazing love. Thank you, God, that you showed and demonstrated your love most of all by coming as yourself, as that man Jesus. And you lived among us. And you gave your life on a cross for us so that we could know your love. For God loved the world so much that he gave us his only son. And so we spend this time praising you for your love. But whilst we do that, we also remember and are aware of the fact that so often we live outside of your love. So often we ignore or forget or don't trust in your love. Will you forgive us for those times that we fail to embrace the arms that want to embrace us with your love? Forgive us for those times when we fail to speak your love or act in your love. Forgive us for those times when we fail to receive your love. And as we ask your forgiveness, we thank you that you're a God, because you're a God of love, who does forgive us time and time and time again. So we receive your forgiveness. And now we pray for this time together that it might be a celebration of your love, but we might not only celebrate it and think about it and remember it, but may we encounter it and you in this place right here, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we've got some fun things lined up this morning. Not in here, you have me to listen to. But for those of a younger age, there's a pumpkin party going on, I believe. Not quite yet, but I'll send you out very, very soon. So go to that. And then after that, we'll have coffee and tea together, as we always do, and we'll join with the children in what they're doing. Well, we probably won't make pumpkins, but we'll see what they've done. But then we'll all meet together as a family and enjoy lunch together. So do join us for lunch afterwards. That would be great to have you with us. Before we go any further, and just before the kids go out, let's play the bulletin. Is that what? Yes. We have a bulletin. Well, last time I was here, we didn't have a bulletin. So we've got a bulletin. Brilliant. This is what's going on at PMC, and this is what's going to go on. Thank you.
Right. Do you like my new shirt?
Yeah, nice. It's nice. Where'd you get it from?
I got it from a charity shop, actually.
Yeah, looks like it.
Oh. Last Thursday, there was a big collection of winter clothes for the Carlisle Refuge. And once again, people responded with amazing generosity. I was told that they could have really done with a bigger van. It was that full. Thank you to everyone who contributed and made this wonderful collection possible. Let's continue to pray for the work that the Refuge are doing, especially as we enter into these colder months. This evening we have our monthly encounter service. This is a time of contemporary worship and prayer, with PJ delivering the message this month.
Woo!
Anyway, everyone is welcome, so come along and see what you think. Even if it doesn't seem like your kind of thing, you might be surprised. Either way, it would be great to see you there. On Monday evening, Michael is holding the first rehearsal for this year's Carols by Candlelight. This is open to anyone who wants to get involved, whether you can sing or not. I mean, even PJ is thinking of signing up, and that's saying something. So if you want to be part of an amazing Christmas performance, then come along to PMC at 6 p.m. on Monday evening. Or if you need more details, then just get in touch with Michael. Thanks to everyone who has volunteered to help out at the PMC Lounge so far. We're really excited to open next Friday. There's still a need for volunteers to help us out, so if you want to get involved, please don't hesitate to get in touch with the office. We also have our Alpha Day Away next Saturday. As always, this is a really special time, so we just ask that you continue to pray for all the participants and the leaders as we continue to explore the Christian faith together. And finally, just a quick reminder that there will be a church lunch after this service, which I'm really excited for. Everyone is more than welcome to hang around and join in some fellowship as a church family. So we hope to see you there. That's the bulletin for this week. We hope you have a fantastic week, and I look forward to sharing even more highlights and good news stories from around PMC next time. As always, for more details, go to the weekly info section on our website or check out our Facebook page. But until next time, God bless and see you soon.
Thank you, guys. Right. I was just to say, you go. They're going. Off you go. Have a great time. We want lots of pumpkin stuff. We're going to, those of us that are here, we're going to sing. This is a hymn that's not, it's a travesty that it's not in, there's Nicola. Nicola, this is a travesty, this isn't in Singing the Faith. The deep, deep love of Jesus is one of my favourite hymns of all times, a wonderful Welsh hymn. But the words will be on the screen. So while we sing this hymn, we'll take up our offering, which will be for the work of God in this place. So if you're able to contribute as the plates go around, that would be fantastic. If you think, actually, do you know, I just haven't bought anything. All I've got is my phone. I've got some good news for you just outside. There's a little machine, and you can either select one of the pre-scheduled amounts, or you can write in your own amount and give that way. But whether you give or not, let's join in this amazing hymn. Stand as you're able, please, as we sing together. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. us, Lord. We do praise you for your great, great love. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. We thank you for all of your blessings to us, for all of your gifts to us. And now we give these gifts of money to you. And we pray, God, that you would help us to use this money to share your amazing love with the people in this town, in these villages, in our communities, that they may experience your love for themselves. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I wonder how you can show, prove to somebody that you really love them. I'm going to give you a few statements, just read out a few statements, about the way that you might show or prove that you love somebody. And I want you just to put your hand in the air if you think these are true. Each one is true, okay? Or it could be true. It's not a trick or anything like that. Don't wait for anybody else. You would show that you loved somebody else by having an intense attraction to them. Would that be right? Yes? Oh, thank you, Joyce. There's at least one. To have an intense attraction to somebody would be a sign that you love them, would it not? What about feeling a deep sense of emotional affection for them? Yes, thank you. What about doting on them and thinking of them often? Would that be a sign that you love someone? Elena and Dave, you're kind of like hedging your bets a little bit about whether you put them... Having an admiration for the person. Oh, yeah, Morgan's there. Is that me you're referring to when you put your hand up there, Morgan? Having shared beliefs or holding an affinity with their values. Okay, yeah, all right, there's a few that would. Sharing in their interests and doing things that you have in common together. Okay, nice. Wanting to spend time in each other's company, being together. Ah, nice. You're making me feel all warm and cozy. Having respect for them and showing appreciation for them. Liking them. Could you love, right, next sort of questions. Could you love someone else if they never loved you back? You had no feelings or affections for that person. Their values and beliefs were completely at odds with your own. Okay. You had absolutely nothing in common. They neither respected you nor did you respect them. Whoa. If they hurt you. And finally, if you didn't even like them. I've got no chance then, have I? Let's read a bit about love, shall we? Audrey is going to come and read to us from 1 John. Thank you, Audrey.
Reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Amen.
Ah, love is all you need, so sang Michael, and previous to that, the Beatles. Love. You know, at our recent Be Bolder weekend that we had, we collected from you the three words that you most wanted to embody PMC. And by far and above, the word that came out more than any other word was that word, love. We talk about love a lot, don't we? Probably more than any other word. I guess there are very few sermons that you will hear that don't at least mention the word love at some point. Perhaps you feel that we talk about love too much, because there's something, isn't there, about familiarity breeding contempt. We get so used to this word love and people banging on about it, it can easily lose its meaning. It becomes part of the background noise, if you like, part of the wallpaper. Love can easily lose its importance and its impact. Did you know that in the Bible there are over 770 different references either to love or to loving? More than any other value or attribute. So yes, it's talked about a lot. It seems to be one of the main themes in the Bible. But what do we mean, I wonder, when we wrote those things to say we wanted love to be our number one priority? Well, of course, and we already have this morning, haven't we? We celebrate God's love for us. It's God's number one value too. You know, there are more references to God's love in the Bible than there are to any other of God's attributes. All summed up in what we just read from 1 John 4 verses 8 and 16, which simply say God is love. God is not just loving, or God can have the ability to show love. No, God is love. And then, as well as celebrating God's love, we also want to love God back, don't we? and we want to grow in God's love. We want to know more of God, to fall more in love with God, grow deeper and deeper into God's love, experiencing more for it ourselves in our lives. But actually, today I want us to consider the third aspect of this word love that we all hold so dear. And that's how we love others. After love, the second most important value that you wanted embodied at PMC was reaching out to others. So let's think a little bit about what we mean when we say we want to love others, what this looks like, how we can model it, how we are to show it. And to think about loving others and what that means, I want us to consider three very basic questions this morning. Why? Why do we love others? Who and how? First of all, why do we show love to others? What is it that drives us to do that? What's our motivation for doing it, our reason for loving? And then who is it that we are to love? Is it people in our own families, in our own church fellowships? Is it other Christians? Is it people we like? Is it the wider world? Who is it? And then finally, how do we love others? What does love look like? How can we model it? So let's start by looking at why. Why is love such a big deal? Well, we've already said, haven't we, that God is love. It's the virtue that's used to describe God more than any other. God has many characteristics and values that we associate with the divine. We know that God is holy, God is righteous, God is just, God is good, God is merciful, God is compassionate, God is faithful, God is trustworthy. But more than all of these, and perhaps what many of the other attributes of God come from, is that God is love. We just read about it, didn't we? It's God's very essence. Right at the beginning of our time together, we read from Psalm 136, which says, "Give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever." Romans 8 tells us, "I'm convinced that nothing will separate us from God's love. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord." God demonstrated their love by coming as Jesus and dying for us. John 3:16 famously says, and I've already quoted it earlier, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." And because God is love, we want to mirror God to others. We want to reflect God. We want to imitate God, to try and be like God. Ephesians 5:1-2 says this, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are God's dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." And then God actually commands that we love others. In fact, it's the only commandment that Jesus ever gave us. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself," Jesus said in Mark 12. "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you," Jesus also says in John 15. So the reason we are to love is pretty obvious, isn't it? God is love. God demonstrated God's love by coming and dying for us. And we want to imitate God's love. God even insists that we do so, to show that we're really God's followers. It's what being a follower, a disciple of Jesus, is all about. It's how we show our discipleship to him. So, okay, that's why. Now let's look at the next question. Who is it that we are to love? And perhaps, yes, perhaps it starts with those closest to us, our own church family. In John 13, Jesus says this, "A new commandment I give you, love one another, As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, he says, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. And in 1 John 3 we read, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. In 1 Peter 4, Peter urges the church, above all, love each other deeply. So it begins close to home. When we gather as church in response to God's great love for us, as we celebrate that amazing love, we show that same love to one another. And that bit should be easy, shouldn't it? Keith's not so sure. We've all come to know God's love for ourselves. We hold so much in common, don't we? We're family, brothers and sisters, siblings, sharing the same loving Father. We're children of God, sharing the same inheritance, baptized by the same Holy Spirit. We're all members of God's church. And yet, this is often the bit that we find most difficult. The recent debate that we've had, called God in Love Unites Us, should have made us realize that despite what differences we may have, we're all united by the love of God. But actually, it had the opposite effect in many cases and divided us. It caused bitterness. It separated us from one another. Yes, loving people in our own family is often hard. Like in any family, we can find it hardest to show tolerance and understanding and acceptance to those who are closest to us. But that's just the start of it. We're to love our communities, people who know nothing of God's love. Loving them and each other is the way that people get to see this love of God for themselves, how they get to know the reality of it, expressed and lived out by our love for them. The Old Testament laws, you know, they were pretty clear about how the Jewish people were to love their own communities and to care for one another. They were to especially love the marginalized and the poor, those who didn't fit in with the majority. And that's how Jesus demonstrated love, isn't it? He was always loving the leper, the sinner, the sick, the disabled, the child, the woman, the foreigner, the sinner. His Sermon on the Mount singles out those who were especially needy for us to love. Now, you'll quite possibly know that the word that the New Testament uses for God's love is agape. Agape is a love that's given without merit or deserving. It's a self-sacrificial love shown regardless of the unworthiness of the object or what it gets back in return. Agape love is one that makes the most of the other, reaches out, lifts the other, values the other, especially when that other has no obvious qualities or virtues of their own. In his commentary on 1 Peter, John MacArthur says it this way: agape expresses the ideal kind of love, that which is exercised by the will rather than the emotion, not determined by the beauty or desirability of the object, but solely through the noble intention of the one who loves. We call it having a bias for the bottom. We're to go out of our way to show love to those whose society finds it more difficult to love. Those who need to know that despite how they've been treated by others, they're loved and valued and invited to receive God's love for themselves. But loving others goes even further. We're to love one another, we're to love our communities, especially focusing on the least loved, but we're also to love even our enemies. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you've heard that it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Now that's really hard, isn't it? To love those who seek to harm us or destroy us, and yield power over us and control us. But that's what we are called to do. Real love, you see, knows no favoritism. It doesn't pick who it is directed at, who it is shown to. So that list that we went through earlier where you put your hand up about how you show love to others, it isn't just those you have an intense attraction to or a deep sense of emotional affection. It isn't those who we admire or share the same beliefs with. It isn't those who we want to spend time with, who those that we respect or like. And it includes those who will never ever love us back, and even those who hurt us. As he hung on the cross, dying, Jesus even loved those crucifying. "Father, forgive them," he said, "for they don't know what they're doing." We are to love all people, the lovely and the unlovely, those who are nice to us and those who aren't, people who are like us and people who are not. Because everyone is loved by God. Everyone is delighted in, and we should love the same way. That's what makes this gospel of Jesus so radical, so extreme, so countercultural, so difficult to follow, and yet so stunningly beautiful. I wonder who it is that we find difficult to love. And if you are to take this call of loving others seriously, I wonder what we choose to do about it. Because it's all very well to say, let's love others, but what does that look like? Finally, let's think about how we are to love others. In English, of course, love can be a noun, can't it? As in love being a profoundly tender, passionate affection that we have for another person. But mainly we use the word as a verb, like to jump or to run or to play. Love is something that is shown. It's something that is done. It's an action, not a feeling. So when we talk in the church about loving others, it has nothing to do with having good feelings about someone or sensing some kind of emotion or heart. It's a doing word that acts out its meaning in practical, very real, tangible ways. And you know, that's equally true of this Greek word agape, which incidentally is exactly the same word that Jesus uses when he says we are to love others. Agape always shows itself through action. It's a love that's shown through labor. In fact, agape can only be known by the actions that it produces. Obviously, if love is something that can be commanded of us by Jesus, then it doesn't belong purely to the emotions, does it? The emotions that we associate with love often fluctuate. They can't be commanded. Sometimes they fade away altogether, but the word agape refers to love as an act. And each one of us can consciously choose to love like that. Each of us can decide to love like that. It's what we do, not how we feel. And isn't that exactly how God demonstrated God's love for us in Jesus? Romans 5 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus himself said, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. God's love, you see, is always demonstrated by what it does. Jesus spent his life mixing with the down and outs. He was criticized by those for those who he ate with and hung out with. He healed them, he fed them, he calmed storms for them. And he died for them, nailed to a cross in the most grotesque punishment ever known to humanity. And our love for others has to be the same. John says this in 1 John 3, this is how we know what love is. Christ Jesus laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. The prophets showed us what love in action looks like. Isaiah 58 says that it is to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke, to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, to when you see the naked, to clothe them. Friends, that's what love in action looks like. This is what love as a verb really means. This is a love that can't be faked or pretended. It can't be just a line in a worship song or a sentence in a prayer or even the words of a sermon. Love must be genuine. It must be real and it must show itself in action. Romans 12 says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honouring each other. So here at PMC, loving others looks like helping out at 4F, or being a befriender with CAP, or helping in the toddler group, or at one of our youth clubs, or being a driver for the lunch club, or a provider of goods and clothes for the refuge, or being there for our new Warm Spaces initiative. Loving others looks like 100 different actions that we do either as a church or as individuals, many of which, of course, will go completely unnoticed, but actions that will make a real, tangible difference to the lives of people who we choose to love. Love is doing stuff, going out of our way to support and to give, even if it hurts. We love because God is love. And we love others, all others. Especially we seek out those who others find unlovable. We show a bias for the bottom. And we do it through practical action, through hard work, through putting ourselves out, putting in a shift and making sacrifices. So may we let others in this community know that they are loved, as our new slogan says, that they are valued and that they belong right here at the head of our table and in the company of the King of Kings. There is a seat at this banquet for them. Love. It's our number one value at PMC. Now, let's make it our number one action. And let's start today. Amen. Nicola and the worship team will lead us in a response.
So love is doing stuff, going out of our way when it hurts. And it's interesting, Tim's brief was to, can we have a song about loving each other? And it was actually a struggle to come up with a contemporary song about loving each other. And so there's a slight apology here that we are going to sing a song about loving each other. It's a song by Graham Kendrick from probably around 2010. It might not be so well known to you. But please just join in as you're able. We did sing it earlier on, just to try and create a bit of an earworm for you. But the song focuses on Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And it wasn't something that the disciples really wanted to do for each other, to do that mucky job of doing the nitty-gritty. You know, what Tim said this morning, think about really how do we love each other? It's not an easy thing. It's hard. but it's what we are called to do as His church. And so, you know, please join us as we sing this song. So it's called Love Each Other.
Going to lead us in a time of prayer, and on the theme of action, there's just going to be a few optional actions for us to do as we go through each of this. Nothing, you can remain seated, you can join in at home, you don't need anything extra. It's just we have what we have right now. So let's start just by listening, really, really listening. What can you hear? Can you hear your neighbour breathing? Can you hear some traffic going by? Can you hear some weird buzzing from some monitors? I can, anyway. open our ears to hear the needs of those around us. Okay, your next action is just to feel an item of clothing that you're wearing. Lord, we are so thankful for the clothes on our backs that keep us warm and dry. We pray for those who don't have what we have. Pray for those who are cold, who are hungry. Lord, we lift the PMC lounge starting here this Friday up to you right now. Okay, and now everyone can feel their heartbeat, whether that's on your wrist, on your neck, or even just placing your hand across your chest. Lord, we pray for the brokenhearted and those who are sick. I just encourage you to lift anyone known to you up to the Lord. And finally, just start to move your feet. Just as you sit, just start moving those feet. And Lord, just challenge us now to go where the people are who need your love. Challenge us to step out of our comfort zones and to really make a difference to those around us. Whatever that looks like, it will be different for each and every person here. But Lord, you know what you have placed on each and every person's heart. And Lord, just challenge us afresh this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit to step out. In your mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alina, for leading us in prayer. We're going to close our time of worship now. We're going to sing one hymn, and then I'll pray a blessing and this time of worship will be over. Obviously, if you're watching online, you can't do this bit. For those of you here, please join us for tea or coffee afterwards, and we'll just chat together and share together. That would be great, being family together. And then if you're able to hang on even further and hang on for lunch with us, that would be just amazing. That would be fantastic. But let's stand, shall we, as we sing a final hymn. If you're following from Singing the Faith, it's number 615. The words will be on there. Let love be real in giving and receiving without the need to manage and to own. And to own a haven free from posing and pretending, where every weakness may be safely known. May this be our prayer as we stand and sing. Thank you, Gareth. God, we were reminded right at the start of this time together that your love endures forever. We pray, God, that you would help us to let our love be real, not grasping or confirming. That strange embrace that holds yet sets us free. May your love in us endure forever. As we go from this place, help us to love not just with words, not just with sentiments, but love as a verb in actions that make a tangible difference to the lives of those around us. In us, may your love endure forever. To our own families, to our own friends, to our own communities, to those who would despise us and be bitter towards us, may your love endure forever. For those in this community who know nothing of your love, those who hurt, those who need healing, those who need to know your life, may your love endure forever, and may your love endure through us and our actions. So go with us, take us, use us, be glorified in us, and may your love be real in us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.